The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Hello, I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and co-host of the podcast Just Between Us.
What a coincidence. I'm Gabe S. Dunn. I'm a writer, bisexual icon, wink, and I'm also the co-host of this show.
Just Between Us is a variety show where we interview fascinating people, play a ridiculous game called Hypotheticals, and talk about things that affect everyone or maybe sometimes just me.
We also do a show called Too Long, Did Read It, which is a show where we scour the depths of Reddit to find the weirdest, kookiest, most upsetting posts and then give our opinions.
So if you're looking for a new show to check out that goes from silly to serious in the same episode, often multiple times,
back and forth from each of us,
you can check out the Just Between Us feed where we have over 200 episodes waiting just for you.
200 episodes?
I know, we've been doing this a long time.
And it were very funny.
Okay.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Hey guys, sorry, I was just muted.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here. Hey, for checking out the series, I do hope you hit the subscribe button. I put out 3 new interviews every single week, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones as well. iTunes and Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, or YouTube for the video versions. I'm Kyle Mayer today, talking with my buddies, My Morning Jacket. In fact, Jim James and Patrick Callahan. We actually taped this a little while ago. They were doing 2 shows in Louisville, their hometown, where I'm based as well, which unfortunately was not able to happen because Jim James got COVID right beforehand and called a few days before that before those shows to talk about the 2 sets and to give us a tip off that they've got an idea that these will actually become an annual festival for them as well. So we get to talk about the live stuff, and then of course we jump into the new record, their latest record, the self-titled album that came out just last year. Jim tells us about the themes of alienation, a struggle to find one's place in the world that makes up the foundation of the lyrics, as well as what it's like to be looked at as a kind of guide through life while still trying to figure it out for yourself. Patrick Callahan also going to talk about rediscovering who the band was and would be after their extended hiatus and their future plans for volume 2 and 3 of their recently launched archival series. So let's do this, shall we? We're talking My Morning Jacket with Jim James and Patrick Callahan of My Morning Jacket.
Hey.
Hello, hello.
It's great to have you guys back. We've enjoyed the love the new record again, as always. I haven't hated any single My Morning Jacket record yet, so.
That's good to hear.
We'll take those odds.
We're still on the roll here. No, but it's been a long time since you all have played here in town. And I don't know, was there a vision behind what you all wanted to do here? I'll actually throw that question out to whoever might have had the concept for this pair of shows.
Well, we just really wanted to... you know, I mean, we always try to celebrate Louisville when we play here, but we really wanted to do, you know, just really embrace the magic and the wonder and the beauty and just so many great things about Louisville. We just wanted to, like, try and highlight as much of that as possible and hopefully start a tradition of doing this kind of festival here in Louisville, kind of hometown festival or whatever, that hopefully... knock on wood, will only expand over the years to just kind of showcase more and more music and food and civic engagement and just all sorts of things.
So, wow, a festival. Expand on that a little bit. So right now, do you think of this in terms right now as what version of a festival are we seeing? Is this just a show that you're hoping to build into a festival?
I'd say it's like a seed. We're trying. So this, you know, obviously everybody knows the COVID story and how crazy COVID's been, and the music concert industry and stuff has been impacted so much by it. And I feel like the trying to get everything up and off the ground to do like a quote unquote, I don't know, festival, it's tough pulling a lot of stuff together. So I think this is kind of our beginning phases of trying to start something like that. And also trying to figure out how it works in with all the other great festivals in town. You know, there's so many great things happening already. So we're just trying to figure out how we can like fit into it and be a part of the fabric of everything that's going on.
And also just, I'll add to that. We just have a, you know, we've been playing hometown shows for quite a few years now, and we're really just trying to tool with the idea of keeping the format interesting and ever changing. And we've already kind of played every venue in town and want to make each time its own special unique experience. So this is the first step in you know, trying to figure out something to bring to the table each time we play here, because it's a hometown show and we love our hometown and respect the responsibility of coming back and representing this town to not only the citizens that don't get to see everything every day, but also the people that travel in from out of town, to give them a good experience. So this is one step in that direction.
Now, this is exciting. This is really exciting to know. So, you know, to have this as a consistent thing year after year. And we should highlight the artists that you have playing here too, because again, it's two nice ones at the Iroquois Amphitheater, one at Waterfront Park, and you've got some great openers. Patrick, you've got some competition because the Louisville Leopards are going to be playing with you guys, right?
That's right. I might have done myself in with this one, Kyle. No, there's honestly, we played with the Louisville Leopards, I believe it might be 10 years to the date, or not to the date, but I think it's a full decade. And when we played with the Louisville Leopards last time at the Riverfront, I just had so much fun. And I thought, like, gosh, if I ever am lucky enough to have a kid and they want to be in the Leopards, I want to do this again and share the stage with them. And here we are 10 years later. And, you know, I think that both the Louisville Leopards and the drum corps, you know, they both took a big hit during the pandemic because their fundraising comes from going out and playing gigs. And so we want to get these organizations as much exposure as we can, because they're doing great work. There's not a whole lot of emphasis of music education in schools, and what they do for kids is priceless. So yeah, we're definitely going to have to come swinging when it's time for us to play, because those kids are going to bring it both nights.
They're incredible to watch them. And that's not the only openers. We should mention the other ones. Who is it again, Jim? Kiana and the Sun Kings, I know, was a part of it. And who am I missing here?
Yeah, and Producing a Kind Generation.
Right.
Kiana's at the Iroquois, and Producing a Kind Generation is at the Waterfront.
And both of those are incredible artists right there. Some of my favorites, especially Kiana opened up the Waterfront Wednesday season this year. And just, God, that band is so great. Have you been able to catch them live yet?
Yeah, it's really phenomenal. Really, so many cool vibes, so many cool positive vibes coming out. And yeah, Kiana and the Sun Kings, like, what a cool blend of so many different genres of music, so many different styles. And Producing a Kind Generation, I really love their positivity and the messages of like hope that they put out into the world. And I just feel like both those artists are just like really bringing a lot of hope and joy to the world. And yeah, we're just so stoked to get to share the stage with them.
Yeah, that's a really good pivot point to put in here too, because you know those words. You use those words, you know, it's not the first time those have fallen out of your mouth right there. Hope, joy, love. I mean, you've sang about that word quite a lot throughout your career. In fact, you put it three times in a song in the title this time around. But there is something I kept coming back to that with your all's new record, again, just an outstanding piece of work. Once again, this self-titled record, but this seems like maybe the most peace and love album that you all have ever made, as I hear it. And maybe that's for obvious reasons, but what directed you to go in that direction, to make this record so almost thematically as it feels like about sort of somewhat positivity?
Well, I mean, I feel like as a songwriter and as a band, we always want to bring positivity to the world. I feel like a lot of my life, I've really struggled with being a human and struggled with understanding the hatred in the world and the chaos and division in the world. And I think a lot of that's come out in my music of just me as a being or whatever, trying to understand my place in it all and a lot of confusion and sadness and stuff. But I feel like one of the benefits for all of us of being around longer and longer is hopefully you can learn more about yourself and try to become a more peaceful person and realize that love, as much love as you can cultivate for yourself, you can offer more to other people and to the world. So I think as I've tried to grow, and I'm still incredibly lost, so don't get me wrong, but as I've tried to grow and just try to love myself more and be nicer to myself, kinder to myself, it's like, I just want to be a part of that reminder to other people, you know, to remind them to be nicer to themselves, be kinder to themselves. And in turn, I feel like that helps you face the world with more kindness and more openness in your heart. And I just feel like it's really all of our sacred duty as beings on, you know, it, just to spread as much peace and love as we can, because there's so much division, so much hatred, and so much violence in the world that I'm still hopeful can be overcome. But it's like we all gotta try and spread as much, yeah, just spread as much love and positivity as we can, because it's hard. You know, everybody knows life can be really hard and we all struggle, you know, and it's like, I think it's just trying, I want our music to be just kind of hopefully almost like a hug to somebody or a reminder, you know, that there's love out there.
Yeah, I was watching the new George Carlin documentary that's on HBO, and someone asked him if he, you know, if he did his art, if he did his comedy in hopes to change someone's mind. And he said, no, I don't want to make people think. I just want them to let them know that I'm thinking. And I thought that's sort of an interesting question to pose, you know, when you have songs directed like this, because for you all, both of you all as the creator of these songs, like, you know, I'll throw that question. Do you hope to change people's minds, or is it just more about letting them know that this is where you all stand?
Definitely. I hope to, not, I wouldn't even say change people's minds, but just maybe open people's minds to the possibility of change. Because I think we live in this world where everybody's trained to just yell at each other, you know, and there's all these platforms on social media and stuff for people to just yell at each other, you know, and people are so divided, hardcore right wing, hardcore left wing, or whatever, that they're missing the whole point that we our lives would all be better off if we could meet somewhere in the middle, you know. And then I feel like I really want our music to open people's hearts to that possibility of, you know, opening your mind to somebody who has different views from you, or is, you know, brought up in a different circumstance than you are. Just opening your mind to the possibility of looking at their life and looking at your own. And, you know, you're not always going to agree on everything, but I do think we could reach a lot more peace in the world if people could kind of recognize more of our similarities than really focusing on the differences. So that's a big part of what I think about and what I hope that maybe our music can play a small part in.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away 2 tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA+, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
Patrick, I'll throw this one towards you. For what you all did, you know, looking back at the last decade, there was a hiatus there. Then, of course, we got this surprise album with Waterfall 2. When you all came back with this one, when it was time to get back to work and create this self-titled record here, was there a thought of like, was there any conversation of who do we want to be with this new chapter?
Well, I don't know if we really get to determine who we are. You know, I think we were really just trying to take stock in what we have. You know, I think a lot of what we were going through is just what a lot of bands or anybody in a relationship goes through when all the variables kind of add up and blind you to what you know, why you're there in the first place. So in my mind, at least, getting back in the studio together was more about just feeling out what it felt like to be a band again. So the sound of this album is five brothers coming back together and working it out. So if anything, we went in kind of to figure out what that was and not so much kind of determine it. And I think that's kind of gone, that's become our mantra of just kind of like paying attention to what's in front of us and being stewards instead of trying to curate every second of every day.
Now that it's now that the record has been out, what, I guess, has it been out a whole year yet? I don't remember the actual release date.
No, not yet. It came out in the fall.
Yeah. Like, can you hear it yet where you all landed, especially musically? Like, every Jacket record, you know, is different. Every single one has a different sound, a different, you know, flavor, whatever. And this one, I feel, is no different. It to me, it's almost one of, I don't want to say breeziest, because you have like great rocking moments like Complex and jams throughout it, but there is something a little bit breezier, I feel like, than I've heard before. That's just my interpretation. Have you all figured out where you all landed on this one, musically speaking?
Jim, you want to take?
I don't know. That's one of my favorite things about making records is like, it's not really in your control. You know, it's like the record really does make itself, you know, and that's where I really believe in spirit. I really believe in some kind of higher power that I don't really know. I can't put a name to it, but just the way spirit comes and takes over, because you have all these thoughts and you have all these notions of what you might want a record to be. You know, we want this record to be this or that, but spirit always determines it, you know. And it's like, because we've worked on a ton of songs for this record, you know, it's over 25 songs or something. You know, we just batted around a ton of ideas and you know, worked on a bunch of stuff, but at the end of the day, the spirit takes over and the songs kind of, they work or they don't, you know. And it's really cool, because then sometimes the song that didn't work this record will end up working 10 years from now or whatever, for some weird reason, you know. So it's like, there really, a lot of it is just out of your control. And then once you're done with the record, it becomes like another seed, or like a way to, like, it's like you still have to cultivate it and work with it when you play live. You know, the songs expand and change and speed up or slow down or grow new parts or whatever. There's really so much, as I think about it and talk about it more and more, it really just seems so much like gardening or farming or whatever. It's like you have these seeds and you have to put the time into watering them and cultivating them and tending to them, and some of them turn out to be really beautiful things and other ones don't make it. And you know, it's just like, it depends on the seasons, it depends on life, you know. There's so much that's out of your control.
Well, if you don't mind me getting specific on a song, I'm going to stick with the gardening analogy here, and tell me how you grew Complex, because I do love it when you guys pull out the big time rock and roll, and that's one of the biggest moments on the record right there.
Well, I mean, Complex is kind of some of my, I feel like if like aliens ever come back or whatever and find my music, or not even aliens or whatever, they'll look back and one of the major themes, they'll be like, geez, this guy was like super confused, you know, like, super lost, you know, like what's going on with this dude? But it's just kind of another thing of me trying to feel like, how do I fit into this world? I mean, that's just kind of been one of the major themes in my life that only now I'm starting to find a little peace with it, but I still struggle with it. It's just, how do I fit in? You know, and I know a lot of people feel that way. And I just really struggle with that on a daily basis of just feeling like I do not fit in. I just do not, this place does not make sense to me. And it just all feels so complex sometimes. And, you know, it's just me trying to figure out, how do I deal with this? You know, like, how do I try to find real love in this crazy world? How do I try to face the pain, you know, or do I numb the pain with drugs and alcohol, or, you know, how do I deal with these things? And, I feel like a lot of these things, just also become so empty, you know, in the chorus or whatever, it's like the, you get what you pay for. I just feel like there's like a lot of, so many things have been devalued in our society too, like, you know, music being one of them. You know, it's like there's so many ways that I feel like just our whole way of looking at things through this lens of capitalism and just the brutality of it all, of how we're trained to climb the ladder and make as much money as ruthlessly as we can. And that just seems so wrong to me. And so I don't know, I'm just kind of constantly struggling with that. And music obviously is a vehicle for peace and a vehicle for understanding. And so, yeah, I feel like it just feels good to like move the energy, you know? So I think complex is just like an effort to move that energy and try and turn it into something good.
That's interesting. Just the whole, I don't know, contradiction of public perception versus private perception. Because, you know, for you, as you say, somewhat feeling lost in the world, never knowing your place, but to so many people, they look at you all as guides. Like, how do you comprehend that? How do you deal with that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really think about that. I mean, I hope maybe, as you say, that if people look at us as guides or whatever, that would just mean hopefully they're finding some comfort in our music, you know, that maybe that, because I know that music works for me that way. It guides me. But for me, I don't really look at the very often at the personal lives of people that I listen to or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like occasionally that enters into it, but so I almost don't really think about that. I know what you mean, because sometimes it seems like, even like a classic Kurt Cobain story or something of somebody who, you know, other musicians might look at Kurt Cobain and be like, oh my God, he's got, you know, all his dreams came true. You know, he's playing music and everybody loves it, but he's miserable. You know, it's like it's not working out for him. And that's a thing. I think there's so many levels to life. You know, we all have all these different levels of who we are, and you know, there's musical levels and personal levels and educational levels and all these different ways that we are. So I think we need to think of each other as more complex beings than just these. I think we're kind of trained to look at each other in these kind of super limited ways. So I think it's possible that person could be doing well on one level, but not doing so well on another. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not very good at basketball or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like there's just so many levels, you know, of just what we can do, who we can be.
You may not be good at basketball as compared to like Steph Curry, but you know,
yeah.
I think it's a relative right there. That's I appreciate the music that you all do put out, because I do know a lot of people find comfort in it. I've had plenty of moments that I have turned to the work that you all have produced. It's powerful. And I'll turn it back around to, you know, the original topic at hand here. Seeing you guys live, I'm not near the first one or the thousandth person to say it, but it is a transformative experience. You know, what you all turn into on that stage and what is projected out of you all, it's incredible. So I'm just throwing a thank you for that to both of you.
Thank you. That's really, really means a lot. We really appreciate that.
Yeah. I will quickly ask about one more thing. You all recently did a volume one of, I guess, what is an ongoing series, the MMJ Live series that went out, a show from 2015. You call it Volume 1, and I'm going to have to ask about what comes next or what the plans are for this series, if you're not able to get too specific.
Yeah, we're actually working on that right now. Getting ready to, we're kind of getting the art together and stuff for Volume 2. So in the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking about that. And we're kind of getting Volume 3 together too. So we're trying to do one a year. You know, sometimes that's easier than not, you know, just trying to find the right shows and get it, you know, get it mixed and all that stuff. But yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah. Is this are you all just are these like all time favorite shows? Are you, do you get to argue about that part of the series?
Well, I mean, I think the whole idea behind this is like there's so many releases out there of bands that just like put out like a board recording of their shows, and that's great because I mean people can get instantaneous access to something they attended, but we're really trying to zero in on stuff that was important to us or had some kind of meaning to our fan base and go back and give it a proper overall look and get it mixed really well and mastered well and you know, give them a version of it that they deserve, you know, that something that really honors the show and the performances and not just rushed out so everybody can listen to it. There's a lot of care put into this and we're excited about the whole series. So looking forward to Volume 2 and other releases beyond.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing them. In the meantime, again, Iroquois Amphitheater and Waterfront Park. I'm excited to see you guys down there.
Thanks. We're stoked. Can't wait.
So excited.
My thanks, Jim James, Patrick Callahan, My Morning Jacket, got the new self-titled LP, and the live archival series as well. If you search deeper within this series, Kyle Meredith with My Morning Jacket, I put out an episode in July of 2020, the last time that I talked with Jim, that features several of my interviews with the band. So if you want to go deeper into my conversations with MMJ, just search Kyle Meredith with My Morning Jacket within this series right here. And thanks to you for hanging out and, again, checking out the episode. Go ahead, hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes and Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence, they've got your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all three of them at Kyle Meredith. Do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition of Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I think we got the time for that.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.